Let us all pray. O God, Lord of earth, sea, and sky, we thank thee also for faith, hope, and love. Make us good trustees, as we are co-creators with thee in the care of this good earth and the life-sustaining resources around us. At this time of conclusion and commencement, we salute the achievements represented by this day and the promise that thou art cooperating with us for a better future for mankind. We thank thee for the vision, daring, and commitment of the men whose names abide with this waterway to the world. For all who have worked with mind and heart as leaders over long years to make this development possible. We mark this as a day of new beginning for conjoined states and peoples. In thy strong name, we dedicate the McClellan Kerr Navigation System. Mighty God, Lord of the nations, we pray thy blessing on thy servant Richard, President of the United States, elected to guide us under thee as a nation and in the family of nations. Give strength to his arms and steadfastness to his faith, that in his awesome responsibilities, wisdom, justice, and mercy may mark this time. Grant guidance that there may be new breakthroughs in old stalemates. With confidence in prayer and thy guidance, make us sons of God and servants of humanity everywhere, that there may be gratitude as well as gain, brotherhood as well as development, through him who loved this world and came to save us. Amen.
Other people in the reserve section that I would like to introduce: Mrs. Henry Bellman, the wife of Senator Bellman. Mr. Charles Bud Wilkinson, consultant to the President. We are honored to have here today on our platform these distinguished guests whom I'd like to present to you now. The wife of the Governor of Oklahoma, Mrs. David Hall. The wife of the Governor of Arkansas, Mrs. Dale Bumpers. Wife of the Attorney General of the United States, Mrs. John Mitchell. Senator John L. McClellan of Arkansas and Mrs. McClellan. Senator Fred R. Harris of Oklahoma. Congressman Ed Edmondson from Oklahoma. Congressman Tom Steed from Oklahoma. Mr. Robert Kerr, Jr., son of the late Senator Kerr. Mr. Marcus R. Tower, president of the ABDA. Mr. Tower. General Frederick J. Clark, chief of the United States Army Corps of Engineers. Rear Admiral R.R. Wasey, Commandant of the 2nd District, the United States Coast Guard. And Tulsa's own Mayor, Robert J. LaFortune. We have evidence here today with this large delegation of the great friendship that exists between Oklahoma and our sister state to the east. May I introduce the Honorable Dale Bumpers, Governor of Arkansas.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Governor Hall, Senator McClellan, Senator Harris, distinguished members of the Congress, other distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of all of the people of Arkansas, I want to first thank all of you who worked so tirelessly to put together this very great event. Secondly, I want to pay tribute to those great men of vision who many years ago foresaw the culmination of the navigability of the river by this great event today. Governor Hall and I are both new to the political scene, but we have a mandate. And I know that Governor Hall joins me in expressing to you that we will exercise our very sincerest efforts to provide the stewardship over the river, which it so richly deserves, to see that it is treated kindly and never abused. The significance and meaning of the river development cannot be fully appreciated or evaluated at this time, even by the most optimistic dreamers. But in Arkansas, we are trying desperately to provide the quality life for all of our people by providing quality jobs for all our people. The results thus far, in a short time that we've had navigation on the river, have been dramatic. This day represents a symbol of progress not only for this valley and this region, but for the United States. It is to me a symbol that we are in fact winning the battle. Thank you very much.
I would also like to introduce to you a very fine co-chairman, Mr. Kenneth W. Rue, to make a presentation. Ken?
Thank you, Max. Senator McClellan, Mr. Robert Kerr, Jr. On behalf of the Admiral's Committee of 500, it's my pleasure to present you two, with each of you, with one of three gold coins minted to commemorate this dedication. Senator McClellan, these coins salute the vision of you and Senator Kerr, and they're a reminder to all of us of the foresight that you had in mind when you fought hard and long for this waterway. These coins are also a salute to the hundreds of engineers that designed and constructed this waterway. It's my pleasure to present these coins.
Thank you, Mr. Rue. Governor Hall, Governor Bumpers, distinguished Americans, my friends, and the people of the Arkansas River Valley, I accept with deep gratitude and humility this gold commemorative medal. But I accept it not for myself alone, but also for my family and for all of the people of the Arkansas River Valley, and especially on behalf of those who through the long years supported this program and who contributed so much to its success. I'm also highly honored and privileged to acknowledge and to express for the family of the late and revered Senator, U.S. Senator Honorable Robert S. Kerr, their profound gratitude and appreciation for the commemorative medal which has just been presented to his son, Robert S. Kerr, Jr. It is his medal, I understand, is to be placed in the museum, in the Kerr Museum at Poteau, Oklahoma. The only element of sadness about this occasion to me is that those who work so hard, many of them can't be here. I only wish that Senator Kerr could have lived to have been here with us today to share the joy and the exultation of this hour and to experience with us the realization of a wonderful dream that has come true. For 14 years, Senator Kerr and I, supported by all of the members of the Arkansas and Oklahoma congressional delegations, labored together to bring about the construction of this great river basin improvement, the completion of which we proudly celebrate today. 8 years ago, I said on the floor of the Senate, and I quote, "The people of Arkansas will never forget and will always be grateful for the tremendous contribution that Bob Kerr made to the bringing of this river project into fruition. Generations yet unborn will benefit from the prosperity which this program will bring to the Arkansas River Valley. Now that this great waterway is completed and in operation, we are crossing the threshold of a new area, to an area of progress, unprecedented progress in the Arkansas River Valley. I am grateful for the honor that this confers. I am happy to be here and rejoice with you today in one of the great achievements of the past quarter of a century in the progress of this nation. Thank you."
Ladies and gentlemen, I would also like at this moment to introduce the other members of the Kerr family, Mrs. Kay Clark, on my left, and the grandson of Senator Bradley Kerr. And now, ladies and gentlemen, you may be seated, please. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we would like to bring you music by the SAC Band, conducted by Major Jimmy Rowan. Jimmy?
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my privilege to present our presidential guests today and extend an official welcome to them, the Honorable Carl Albert, the Speaker of the House of Representatives. The Honorable John Mitchell, the Attorney General of the United States. The Honorable Clifford Hardin, Secretary of the Agriculture. The Honorable Maurice Stand, Secretary of Commerce. Senator Henry Bellman of Oklahoma. Congressman Paige Belcher of Oklahoma. Congressman John Jarman of Oklahoma. Congressman Jace P. Hammersmith of Arkansas. Congressman John Camp of Oklahoma. Congressman Bill Alexander of Arkansas. It is also my pleasure to welcome home again one of the finest ambassadors Oklahoma has ever claimed, a former Miss Oklahoma who has brought nothing but credit, honor, and pride to our state, Tulsa's own Anita Bryant, to sing God Bless America.
With the light from above.
distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen, officiating for the blessing of the waterway, the Most Reverend Victor J. Reed, Bishop of the Diocese of Oklahoma City and Tulsa.
O Lord, our God, we remember the words of your prophet David in the Psalms. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom you have made them all. You care for the earth, give it water, you fill it with riches. Your river in heaven brims over to provide it grain. Therefore, cry out with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing for joy. Know that he, the Lord, is God. He made us, we belong to him. We are his people, the sheep of the flock. Go within his gates, giving thanks. Enter his courts with songs of praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Indeed, how good is the Lord, eternal his merciful love. He is faithful from age to age. What then shall we say, exclaims St. Paul in his letter to the Romans. If God is for us, who is against us? He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Will he not also give us all things with him? With great confidence, then, we pray the Father Almighty, who created this pleasing element of water for man's use, endowing it with power to wash away the stains of both body and soul, to bless and hallow this navigation course, so that it may bring the fruits of greater progress to the lands which it serves. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as St. Peter exhorted the early Christians, as each has received a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. May the cities and states which line the shores of this waterway share its benefits with one another and their neighbors in freedom and friendship. May the benefits of the great federal investment of monies, as well as the engineering skills which have made this achievement possible, bring prosperity to all the people of the American heartland, and may their prosperity aid them to better serve their Lord and God, whose gift it ultimately ever remains. Amen.
I am honored to present your host today for this official dedication ceremony, the Honorable David Hall, Governor of Oklahoma.
Thank you very much, Mr. McClintock. Mr. President, Mr. Speaker, Governor Bumpers, Governor McClellan, Senator McClellan, Senator Harris, and Senator Bellman. You get a little nervous when the president's right behind you. And being a freshman governor is not too easy either. I'm going to take the liberty of introducing three men from the State House who have done a great job for Oklahoma this year. Lieutenant Governor George Nye first. Lieutenant Governor Nye? And then the two great right arms of the state legislature, Speaker Rex Privett. First, Speaker Privett. And President Pro Tem of our Senate, Finis Smith. Mr. President, we're warmed and very humble that you have come to help us today in dedicating a new wonder of the world. America has reclaimed a great natural resource, a river. Steamboats once plied the Arkansas, but careless settlement of the plains caused silting. In a past generation, navigation on the Arkansas ended. In an unbridled ecology, the river's ebb and flood was gauged by the whims of nature. But there arose from Oklahoma a man of vision and courage, the late Senator Robert S. Kerr. He challenged the waste and the destruction. Senator Kerr's personal dedication to the environment and his vigor for our state tower tall in the history of Oklahoma. It was his dream and the dream of Senator John McClellan and their determination together as one of the magnificent teams in the Congress that the Arkansas River be harnessed, that floods be averted, that water be conserved, and that navigation be restored. It was a great challenge. The forces of politics, economics, and nature combined in realizing that dream. But the rugged determination of the Kerr-McClellan team won the final victory. Their cause was joyous. Their cause was just. The dream is a reality. We assume this gift today with humility and responsibility. The resources will be multiplied. The environment will be respected. The utilization, as Governor Bumper so well said, will be tempered with good judgment. Governor Bumper and I have joined in asking that the President consider the orderly development of the river. The investment by all America in our valley will reward not only Arkansas, Oklahoma, and the valley, but indeed all America. Mr. President, we are grateful to have you here, for you to join in this historic event for our states. Your presence reflects the magnitude of our nation's great accomplishment. Indeed, God's blessing, as expressed by Bishop Reed, inspires us to even greater stewardship in the care of this river and its valley. We are humbled by the challenge, and again, Mr. President, honored by your presence. At this time, it's my great pleasure to ask our President, Mr. Nixon, to join with Senator McClellan and Robert S. Kerr, Jr. in the unveiling of the plaque. Mr. President? Mr. President, the citizens of Oklahoma and Arkansas today would like very much to present you with a gold coin to commemorate this historic event for us. We hope that you will take this coin back to the White House with you, and it will be a reminder of the people of Oklahoma and Arkansas of our progress, our determination, and the spirit of the heartland of America. Mr. President, may I gratefully give to you this gold coin.
We're so proud to have you here.
You make it all right.
Thank you.
It's now my great pleasure to introduce to you the President of the United States, Richard Nixon.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Mr. Speaker, Governor Hall, Governor Bumpers, members of the United States Senate, members of the Congress, all of the distinguished guests who are here on this platform, and all of the distinguished members of this great audience. May I express first my appreciation for your wonderfully warm welcome. I'm not speaking of the weather, I'm speaking of the way you applauded a moment ago. And may I pass on a message to you that I bring directly from the White House. Mrs. Nixon said that of her many travels around this country, she's never had a warmer welcome than she had in Tulsa a few weeks ago. And she would like to have come today, but as you know, she's working on a White House wedding. I think she and Trish will get through it, but I don't know whether I'll make it. That's all I can assure you, too, that on this occasion, I only wish I could have been present for the earlier parts of the program. I read the scenario, and I saw some of the wonderful numbers that were planned. And I want to express appreciation to all of them, and I know that all of you will want to join in a round of applause for that television, for everybody that's performed up to this point. I particularly want to pay my respects to the Tulsa University Choir and also to Mr. Sugar Bowl, Al Hurt, and to the one that all of us who know her great work for all patriotic causes is really Miss America, Anita Brown. Well, you can well understand that on such an occasion like this, it's a pleasure for me to be here on the Oklahoma seacoast. Now, I remember when I visited Oklahoma in the campaign of 1968 being lobbied a bit on this project. I flew over all of this area, and I remember that on that occasion, Dewey Bartlett and Senator Bellman, Bud Wilkinson, Paige Belcher talked to me about the enormous promise and, of course, the fact that this project was to be completed and that I must return to participate in its dedication. Well, I promised to be back on the day when the Gulf of Mexico came up to Catoosa. I'm delighted to make good on that promise. Here I am. Friendliness of the people here, which you've demonstrated so eloquently today, the beauty of the land that I have seen around us as we flew in on the helicopter, always makes me glad to return to what is Will Rogers' country. But this is the first time I've had a chance to go one up on that great cowboy philosopher. You know, with him, and all of us who remember reading him out in Los Angeles, he had a little column as he did all over the country, and it was must reading for everybody, even in those days. The joke was usually for Will Rogers on the government. One time in 1923, he was spoofing the Congress about its public work spending. And he made his point by saying that all that money being passed out, that he could probably even get himself a harbor built on the Verdigris River at Ulaga. I think that's the way you pronounce it. I practiced it on the way out on the airplane. Well, this magnificent new port is still a few miles downstream from Ulaga, but it's close enough that this time the Corps of Engineers and the people of the supposedly landlocked Sooner State can have the last laugh. For years, there were many who dismissed the idea of an Arkansas River waterway as a foolish dream, but there were others, men like Senator Bob Kerr and John McClellan, who held it as a bold and achievable vision. The completed project that we dedicate today has proved that they were right. With the opening of this great navigation system, the new maritime states of Oklahoma and Arkansas can look forward to a whole new era of growth and development. And so too can Kansas, which may one day have ports of its own on the Arkansas and Colorado and all of the other states of this heartland region that will be sharing in the benefits of this waterway. At the same time, speaking as and representing all of the people of the United States, as President of the United States, I can say that all the American people join you in celebrating this achievement, because it belongs to all of us and helps all the nation. Because you see, in a very real sense, the progress and prosperity will bring you mean added progress and prosperity to all of America. We think, for instance, of the two-way savings water transportation is already beginning to bring the farm industry in this region. Lower shipping costs coming in mean that the farmer pays less for his fertilizer, machinery, and other supplies. And lower shipping costs going out mean that the farmer can pocket more of the market price of his crops and livestock. And that way, farm income is boosted twice, and the benefits extend across America and around the world to everyone who depends on the beef and the wheat, the cotton, the soybeans, all the other products of Mid-America's agriculture. I believe that what is good for the farmer is good for his customers and good for America, and this project proves it. That's one big reason we're grateful to see this waterway go into operation. As we assess the significance, we think, too, about the tremendously important oil and natural gas resources that have meant so much to the growth of Oklahoma and the industrial development of this country. We think about the major coal fields that will now become much more accessible along the Arkansas River in these two states. And I realize there's legitimate concern about some of the serious environmental and pollution problems surrounding the production and use of coal and oil. But we must also remember that the energy they produce is indispensable to the economic strength of the United States and to the good life which the American people enjoy. As this new waterway encourages growth and development, regional energy needs will increase even faster than the rapidly growing national needs. And this will mean new opportunities and new challenges for petroleum and for coal, which are produced in this region. I can assure you, as I indicated in the special message on energy policy, which I sent to the Congress yesterday, that the federal government will continue to recognize and support the vital role which these industries play. But beyond agriculture, beyond oil, we are already seeing the first stages of a broad-based economic boom in the Arkansas River Basin. All sorts of new industries are on the way, bringing with them new jobs, new income, new vitality for communities throughout this region. Private investment planned along the waterway has passed the $800 million mark and should soon exceed the $1.2 billion in public funds spent in construction of the project. Here again, the beneficial impact will be felt, not just in Tulsa, not just in the states, Oklahoma, Arkansas, others in the area, but it will be felt across America. For this great region, so ready for development, can provide part of the answer to the increasingly acute growth of congestion and uncontrolled growth in America's largest metropolitan areas. Let's look at America over the next 30 years, down to the year 2000, where some of the younger people here in the year 2000 will be celebrating that millennium, a new year that comes once in 1,000 years. What is America going to be like? Well, one of the things that we know is that it's going to be a lot larger in terms of its people. There are likely to be 70 million more people in America 30 years from now than they are today. Now, how are we going to provide for them? How will we assure to them and the rest of us the abundance and the quality of life which we all deserve? And even more essential, where are they going to live? Are they going to pour into the cities of America? Are they going to add to the crime and the congestion and the pollution that are choking our cities to death? Did you know that two-thirds of all the counties in this part of the country, and I do not refer to individual counties, but looking at them as a group, two-thirds of them have lost population over the past 10 years? And so they poured into the cities, and now the question is, what is the future of growth of America? Well, I think there's an answer. I was talking to a young couple on a trip to North Dakota a few months ago. I had found that they had left North Dakota to go to a major city in the east, and then they returned, and asked them why. They said, the reason we left
was that there wasn't adequate opportunity here. Not good jobs, not adequate opportunity in business, and so we went east. But then some opportunities opened, and we came back because we really wanted to live here. We like this country. It's a beautiful country. It's a country where we want to raise our children, and that's why we came back. And so I say, let people who want to live in the heartland of America have the opportunities, have the jobs that will let them stay here and not be drawn away. That's what this project means to America and to the world. Let me tell you what it's going to look like here. You realize that over this next 30 years, this region in which we're now standing could absorb as much as 10% of that growth. In other words, 7 million more people. This region can become a new magnet for people seeking the good life, so that we can begin to see a reversal of the decades-long migration trend from rural America to urban America, a trend which has too often acted to deplete the countryside and overburden the cities, to weaken the heart of America, and to add to the fat which saps our strength. There's virtually unlimited promise in the future of the Arkansas Basin, provided we take charge of the development process and guide it wisely. We know all too well that heedless and unplanned growth can become a bane rather than a blessing. That's why there's so much interest, particularly among younger people, about the environment. What's going to happen to our rivers? What's going to happen to our countryside if we simply have growth without planning? Questions are even being raised, going to an extreme. They say, why should we have growth at all? I understand the feelings that raise those questions, and yet I think that they come sometimes and perhaps most often from people in regions that already have had their share, or more than their share, of American prosperity. In this region, where you are really starting to come into your own, we cannot simply shrug off the benefits of economic growth and expanded prosperity. We need them. We're going to continue to have them. And yet it is still legitimate, and it's essential to insist that quality keeps pace with quantity as the nation grows. And looking at this project from an environmental standpoint, we can be grateful and proud that this river system today remains largely unpolluted when we look at it in comparison to others. And right now, as we dedicate this project, with industrial development along the waterway really beginning to take off, let us determine to hold the line on a clean and healthy river. Because if we act now, we can make the Arkansas not only a continuing asset to this region, but also an example of pollution prevention for the entire United States. The dedication of this McClellan Kerr Arkansas River Navigation System is an exceptional monument. A monument in action. It honors many things. It honors the leadership of the two senators whose name it bears. It honors the leadership of the congressmen like Paige Belcher, senators like Henry Bellman and others who have also worked for this project. It honors the vision of many leaders of this region who are not of the Congress, in the Senate, or the House. The constructive partnership of economic development with environmental protection. And this is a monument to American engineering and technological skill. I think it's particularly fitting that this waterway has been dedicated to the youth of America, for it is they who will benefit most from it. The surge of growth and prosperity, which this region is certain to experience the decades ahead, means a brighter future for the young people of the United States. And to the extent you're able to set an example for the nation in things like environmental planning and balanced growth, you will be doing a service to the next generation, not just regionally, but throughout the United States. But the most important consequence of this great achievement for American youth is, I believe, something that really cannot be measured in material terms. By undertaking a vast project that some called impossible and others called worthless, making it a success, you have demonstrated once again the vitality of the American tradition of daring great things and achieving great things. I have many memories of France's great leader, General de Gaulle. He was a man with a rare understanding of what it takes to make a nation's spirit live and soar. And I remember that he often used to say that France is never her true self unless she is engaged in a great enterprise. Precisely the same is true of the United States. The spirit that tamed the Arkansas is the same spirit that forged the Union in 1776, that bought Louisiana in 1803, that bridged the continent with the rails in 1869, that settled the Oklahoma Territory in 1889, that developed the Tennessee Valley in the 30s, and that put men on the moon in 1969. And in an era when some voices urge Americans not to aim so high, to turn from the pursuit of greatness to the cultivation of comfort only, it is valuable for our young people, our future leaders, to have before them this dramatic example of the young spirit still at work in America. Because without this spirit, all the wealth, all the ease, all the privilege would be as ashes for Americans. But with this spirit, all the future is ours for what we want to make it. It was the summer of 1946, 25 years ago, that Congress first authorized this project. I remember that summer well. Another man on this platform remembers it very well, too. That was the year I was lucky enough to win when I ran for Congress. He ran, too. He was elected from Oklahoma, I from California. And when I think of all the events that have taken place in the world in the quarter century since Speaker Albert and I were first elected to that 80th Congress, I realize what a momentous time in history this has been. That doubles my pride in sharing with him and all the others on this platform and all of those in this great audience the dedication of this magnificent project, a project which was only a bold dream when we came to Congress 25 years ago. But now it's a grand reality, and for generations to come, it will be a living monument to what man and nature together can accomplish. And as I conclude today, I would like to conclude on a personal note of appreciation to all of those who have made this for me personally and in my capacity as President of the United States one of the most memorable days of my service in that office. Sometimes those of us who see the nation only from Washington tend to get a distorted view. And the reason is obvious. It's inevitable that bad news will drive out good news. Not by deliberation, but simply because bad news seems to make more news than good news. And consequently, if you sit in Washington without getting out to the country, you get an impression of the country that everything is wrong, that America is an ugly country. Ugly physically, ugly morally, ugly spiritually. I want to thank all of you today, the people of Oklahoma and Arkansas and all the others from these heartland states, for reminding us of some fundamental truths. America is a beautiful country. The American people are a good people. They're a strong people with faith in God and faith in themselves. And the spirit that built America, the spirit of 1976, still lives. It's a spirit of hope. It's a spirit of idealism. It's a spirit to dare and achieve great things. And as we look at America's role in the world, we see a nation, the strongest and the richest nation in the world, but a nation, I can tell you, that throughout the world is not feared by any who have freedom, because we will never use our strength except to defend freedom, and is not feared by any who love peace, because America will always use its strength to serve the cause of peace and not to break the peace. And I say to you today, I thank you for reminding all of us on this day where we came from, of all of our great traditions, and of some of the good things about America. And on this day, let us all stand just a little taller. Let us all stand taller and say, we're proud to be Americans. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you can see by this picture here that where the interests of the United States are really concerned, building a better America, we are not Democrats, we are not Republicans, we put this nation first, we're all Americans. Here they are.